Continue our series this morning as we look at the Psalms, and I'm grateful for Anne Marie. You've seen she's doing a lot of work today, heavy lifting. And Anne Marie suggested Psalm 8, and so she's going to read, and then she's going to give a few words about her own testimonial experience of it. And so I'm grateful for her and for her desire to share with all of us. And I want to invite you to, we're going to take a few moments of pause to pray and to cheer on Anne Marie.
Yes.
Among the heavenly host, to give her courage and give thanks to God for the word of God that is alive and working and in our midst this morning. Amen.
I was really excited when Monty decided to do a series on the Psalms because I love them dearly. And when he asked for a suggestion, Psalm 8 was the first. There are many that I love, but this one came to mind because it's one that I go back to again and again. And you'll find it on page 530 in your pew Bible. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you made them little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the fields, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I just have a few remarks. People who were expecting a sermon from me are going to be sadly disappointed. I love the Psalms. For me, they're my prayer book. They're David's prayer book and they're my prayer book. There's not a thought or a feeling expressed in the Psalms that you and I have not experienced. Whether it be joy or sadness, praise or lament, self-confidence or self-pity, the poetry of the Psalms is about relationship. Our relationship with the Lord. It's an exploration of what it means to live a life in relationship with God and being faithful to Him. Psalm 8 begins and ends with these words, O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And in between those lines, we get a glimpse of the wonder and the glory of who God is and all He's created, juxtaposed with who we are. Psalm 8 begins by showing us the glory of God through His creation. Even infants come into this world knowing the majesty of God and reflecting His glory. All of creation shouts His name in the beauty and the intricacy of nature that surrounds us. It's easy to feel unworthy and overwhelmed, and yet God is mindful of us and has crowned us with glory and honor and given us dominion over the works of His hands. The Lord is sovereign. He deserves all praise and glory, and He is our boundary. Within that boundary, He gives us authority as stewards of His creation. What an awesome privilege and responsibility. I go to this psalm to orient myself and reorient myself when I'm out of balance in my relationship with the Lord and with others. It fills me with awe and a sense of responsibility to remember who I am in relation to God. I am humbled and can scarcely take in the manner of love that the Lord has for His creation. Being us. Thank you.
I'm glad Anne-Marie suggested the psalm. It is a majestic psalm, as it says in there. And it is one I was saying in Bible study that when I read it, I tend to read it quickly. And then I get to the end and I say, wait a second. There's a lot in there. I don't know what I just said. And I end up going back and looking at it again. It invites you to ponder, to reflect. Marge talked about in Bible study, she said it's like once when she was in Southern California and was overcome with the busyness. And she was right on the edge of the ocean, and she could turn her back to the city and the noise of human civilization and just see the ocean and the created order and the calm. And I think that's a great image for this psalm and what Anne-Marie was referring to and how she likes it. And the power of it is this power that is in the name of God. That God is bigger than we can ever understand, that God is and was and is to come, and that when we start to glimpse who God is, we actually just get a glimpse, and that God invites us to more. And a lot of times it is all too easy to be distracted by the noise, to be overcome by what's going on, or to be overshadowed by our own sense of failure or our own sense of smallness, or our own sense of incompleteness. I tell you all the time how my first thing I do in the morning a lot of times is read the newspaper. And I tried not to do it during vacation, but I still did it, a little bit less. But when you read the news or hear it, it's hard not to be overwhelmed. Our problems seem to be escalating rather than being addressed. And for me, I find I'm always feeling this burden of what am I gonna do? How am I gonna fix it? As if I could do anything. I'm so small. I'm not really anything. And yet, there is something to that. And that's what the psalm's trying to get at, that we are small and infinitesimal, that we do not matter in the scheme of things. I found this great slide here. This is of not the universe. This is just our solar system, I believe. Or galaxy, sorry. You can tell I'm a man of the Bible, not of science. This, you know, the little thing, you are here, this teeny tiny speck. And this is just a small part of the universe. It's easy to feel that way. That's what the psalm is talking about. The poet is reflecting on how big things are. And yet in the midst of it, there's this weird phrase where the poet says, but God, you made us just a little bit below you. In the midst of all of this, who are we that you remember us? That you crown us with honor and glory, that you entrust us with the vocation to care for the world, to care for each other, to care for ourselves. As you care for us. There's a connection, as Anne-Marie was pointing to, between God's greatness and God's goodness and our responsibility. A connection between how small we are and how big God chooses to make us. There are no words for this. In fact, I think the words are already in the psalm, and yet I always feel like I have to say it because that's what you expect me to do, right? Within what I usually say will be 5 minutes and turns out to be 25. I think that's the challenge. How can you say the unsayable? That's what the psalm is getting at. And I was struck this week as I was thinking about things, and Anne-Marie and I had talked and we'd read and shared about the psalm, and I was visiting with Edna Freitas, who we talked about that she died yesterday. She'd been on hospice care. She was 104. And I had the privilege of going to see her every day, thinking almost that every day, well, this is probably going to be the last time. By about Wednesday night, I stopped saying, I'll see you tomorrow, because I felt bad. And yet I kept seeing her the next day. And she died peacefully yesterday. And I kept thinking, well, you know, it must be really hard when you're 104. It must be hard to stop. It must be really hard. She outlived her husband. She outlived her children. She just kept on going. And she had a smile, if you knew her smile. We talked about that last week. A fierce smile. Even when she was unconscious, she would smile. And then I was reflecting on that, thinking of how blessed I am to have known her for about 15 years. And then I think 15 years in the scheme of 104 is nothing. It's nothing. 104 years. That is a lot of time. And yet it is nothing compared to the greatness of God and the pondering of this poem of how mighty, of how great, of how good God is. That God measures all of that, takes all of it into account, holds all of us, myself and Edna and you, and that in all of that, God knows us and loves us and calls us and trusts us. I listened to about 5 different sermons on this text, listening for ideas, and Anne-Marie and I talked about some things, and we'd heard different things saying, people saying, well, this psalm is really about abortion and how we have to fight against abortion. Or this psalm is really about ecological stewardship and what we need to do. I heard one sermon saying that this was about recycling and the importance of recycling. Now, I think it's important to recycle, and I do it. But I think that this is more than just about an aluminum can. Not that that's not important, but it is huge, and that we are part of it, whether you feel it or not, whether you think it or not, that we are part of what God is doing. That is big. And it's overwhelming. But that's not what God means for it to be. God gives us a crown, it says, of honor and glory. It's not a crown of weight and burden and, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with my plastic bottle? I can't find the right can to put it in. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's not a burden, but rather a gift. And I'm always lucky because I'm standing up here looking at all of you. But I want to invite you to look at each other and be mindful that it's a gift. It is a gift to be together. Even if some of the people in this room are your gift, as some people would say, it is a gift to be together. Everything is a gift that God gives us. As in the words of that song we sang, this is the air I breathe. It is a gift. We are invited to live and to orient our lives from that. That God gives to us, and we naturally want to give in return. As we end our reflection on this, we're going to do a guided prayer, and then we're going to segue into our next song, which is a new song. The choir was learning it this Sunday, so we'll expect all the choir to sing really loudly. But I invite you to you'll learn the song as we go along. But as we move into that, I wanted to invite you just to your own prayer, because the beauty of these words, which are over 2,000 years old, are, as Anne-Marie said, it speaks to us even today. Written by someone who could never fathom our life, the words speak to us. They speak for us. And they speak alongside us. So I want to invite you to some guided prayer. And then we'll flow into the song as a response to God's word and God's gift today. Let's pray. As we pray, I want to invite you to take three deep yoga-like breaths. You can breathe in. We're going to hold it for a count of 4. And then breathe out. And we'll breathe in again. And hold it for a count of 4. You can breathe out. I'm going to breathe in again. And again, hold it for 4. Then you can breathe out. Then keep breathing. As we recognize that the air we breathe is a gift. that God gives to us, that we have not asked for, that we have not earned, but that we have been given. And as you breathe, I want to invite you to be mindful, maybe call to your mind's eye a time when you have been recently overwhelmed by the beauty, by the complexity, by the intricacy of the universe. Maybe in the stars, maybe in the call of the waves, maybe in the beauty of a small child, or the wetness of a dog's tongue licking you, or maybe the silence. Think of some time when you have been overcome by the beauty of the earth. I want to invite you to give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for the gift of that moment, for the gift of the breath we have. For the gift of the world we have been given. As you breathe, I want to invite you to be mindful of maybe what's going on in your life, in our church, in our city, in our nation, in our world. Is there someone or something that's on your heart? Maybe someone in your family or on your street or in the pews this morning. Someone for whom you have great compassion, who is struggling, or just has a heavy load to bear on a daily basis. Is there some thing, issue, or problem, or concern that you have? The way in which God is trying to bring God's justice and goodness and grace into the world. Some way in which you maybe feel called or entrusted or gifted to care for creation, to care for others, to care for yourself with the compassion that God has given to you. So think about that, if you can find that thing or person or problem or situation. I invite you to give that to God, whether it's trusting God to act, maybe to act through you, looking and listening, believing and trusting that God wants good, that God's name is majestic in all the earth. Then place that thing or that person, that situation, whatever it might be, place it in God's hands. Thanking God for the gifts that we have. The gifts that God will give us. The gift that God's love is. Just sit in that moment. Gratitude. Compassion. Of awareness, maybe, that you are blessed more than you tend to remember. More than you tend to believe. More than you can even imagine. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.